Blog Talk Radio.
What are we doing?
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Wake Up the Spirit. My name is Celeste. I am your host every week here on Lilydale Radio at Wake Up the Spirit. And I've got my two favorite co-hosts with me today, my very good friend and colleague, Willa White. And of course, I've got my coffee. So please grab your coffee and join us. We're going to have a really nice chat today about mediumship, the sacredness of mediumship, and what that means to us. Mm-hmm. So I am going to try to check the Facebook comments periodically. So if you have questions, do let us know. But we're just going to have a nice chat and see where it goes. So, yeah. Well, welcome. Welcome back. I feel like we've been doing these shows forever.
Yeah, I think I've calculated it's year 7 of shows.
Wow.
Yeah.
That has gone by.
Episodes of my show and your show.
Yeah.
We started
at the same time, we were part of the original
crew.
The original crew, the guinea pigs,
yes.
As we were referring to ourselves at the time.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Grand experience.
Yeah. So this has been, your show has really taken on a life of its own, which is fantastic. For those of you who are unfamiliar, do check out Wednesdays with Willa. And that is, of course, on, at the moment, blogtalkradio.com for the Lilydale Radio channel, as well as Facebook Live. We have exciting news, which is that Lilydale Radio is going to expand across different visual platforms. So we hope that you will join. Sneeze on the truth, as they say. So join us across different visual platforms. We're going to be on, we'll have our Lilydale YouTube, we are going to stream live on Twitch as well, which is a brand new experiment.
Yeah, I don't know Twitch.
So that's okay.
But it must be like Sneeze.
Yes. It's its own live streaming platform, so that'll be super fun. And we are excited to reach a whole new audience with that. So coming up in the new year. And of course, I'm just restarting my show. I've been doing shows sporadically over the last year or so because I haven't had a regular schedule like I normally would. So I'm happy to be back on the air. Of course, none of us broadcast during the summer because summer season is just...
No, we have to go on hiatus with the shows during that time. It's just too busy.
And we always have the best of intentions, but it doesn't always work out. So, here or there, but mostly it's hiatus. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what is new in your world? You've got classes going on.
Classes, although during the holidays I take a break, and then in the new year I'll start up my mediumship circles, and I'll have another great 3-month immersion mediumship program that I'll offer. And people can find out more about that when I get posted on my website and my Facebook page, which is willowwhite.com, and my Facebook page is Willow White Medium. And I really enjoy teaching. It's really great.
Well, and, you're very good at it, so that's exciting.
Thank you.
Thank
you so much.
And by the way, speaking of websites, we want to remind everybody that if they missed Giving Tuesday for the Lilydale Assembly, that goes on right up until the end of the month. Sooner than later is a good thing. So you can go on lilydaleassembly.org and or donate, and If you would like to support the assembly so that we can continue to do great programming and plow the streets.
It's really important, and especially this time of year, to know that we've got some money in the coffers to see us through to the summer, because this is a nonprofit organization. So that's we definitely rely on people and their generosity and their hearts.
Exactly. Yes. So
keep spiritualism alive, folks.
We are doing our part anyway.
Yes, we are.
Okay. It does look like, well, we've got some people jumping on just to say hi. And it looks like Valerie's got her coffee with her, so we salute you. Everybody knows my blood type is coffee.
She's part Java.
Yes. I'm Javanese. So, I usually start off by telling people about, you know, how we met, but I think it's at this point pretty obvious.
And you can look back at archived videos of the show. I've had Celeste on my show quite a few times, and we talked about being young mediums. I had you on recently in the Lilydale Museum to talk about women's history, and I think people are pretty well versed in that. But, you know, maybe they're watching this and seeing us for the first time, so welcome. I'm a registered Lilydale medium, along with Celeste being registered, and I was trying to calculate, I think it's 21 years
for you,
I've been registered, and
I think
both of our moms are registered.
Yeah, and both of our moms got registered after us, too, so, which is hilarious, but at the time, so my mom got registered, then we were... There were three sets of us, mother-daughters, at the time. Because Shirley and Stephanie, Will and Bonnie, and me and my mom. So, we've seen a lot of shifts and changes and new people, new talents coming in. So that's been really exciting. But for those of you who don't know what Lilydale is, if you were finding us for the first time, Lilydale is a spiritualist community in Western New York. We are an hour south of Buffalo.
Yeah, we're not anywhere close to New York City. So.
No.
If you live there and think you're going to come visit us, remember it's like a whole day across the state.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an eight-hour drive from the city. So you could just fly to Buffalo and drive down. That's usually easier. But
it was just a couple hours from Niagara Falls. Which is, of course, an amazing destination.
Yes, very much so. We're so lucky because it's one of the wonders of the world, and it's like a lifetime destination for a lot of people, and we go like three times a year because it's right there.
Exactly. So, but people make the pilgrimage to Lilydale because we have a wonderful summer season program, a lot of daily events, message services, healing services, a lot of lecturers, and guest presenters that come.
Yes.
And we've had some really big names in the past.
Yeah. And in the future, I'm sure. Yeah.
And in the future.
And I will say we are not a closed community. So it is a spiritualist town, which means the religion and philosophy of spiritualism. But it doesn't mean that you have to be spiritualist to come here or that we have any desire to convert you. It is about finding your faith and your understanding, and people come here for peace, I think, and healing. And that's what we try to provide.
And just to walk the grounds and to have that experience of peace. People, when they come to the gates of Lilydale, all of a sudden they can feel it. That beautiful energy, and many people consider this to be their spiritual home. I know many of you listening in today feel that same way that we do. Lilydale is very, very special, and we want to keep it.
Yes.
We want to keep it.
Yes, we do.
But in the off-season, the churches run their own Sunday services, and there is a Wednesday night healing temple service that's for the community.
Yeah.
And, this is more quiet in the off-season. And Some mediums are not available in the winter. So
that's
keep
true.
That in mind.
Yes.
Always have an appointment before you come try it.
Yeah. It's a terrible thing for people driving in, you know, hours or days and there's nobody available. Because we do book up.
Yeah,
so,
we book up. Our lives are full.
Yeah. True story. And there are online classes in the off season as well. So, you know, we have really great presenters for that as well. So do check that out.
And the mediums, many of them are available, for, you know, as with phone readings and also with Zoom readings.
Zoom,
so,
FaceTime,
you know, honestly, I've been doing phone readings for decades and not a problem to do distance readings one iota. And then when the world switched to Zoom, that also worked. So
yes.
It's nice to be able to see and hear people through Zoom and through features like this.
Yeah, exactly right. Mm-hmm. So, we're just so lucky.
We are
frankly
blessed.
Yeah.
Beyond blessed.
So if you saw me looking down, by the way, I was just sharing us on the Lilydale Facebook page.
Awesome.
So wherever you're seeing us at this time, whether it's on Lilydale Assembly Inc., which is our official page, or online, but we are. I feel like both of us. My brain went three ways just now. That's what you just witnessed because I have only had.
Well, that's
two
what happens when we
connect
to the spirit.
Yeah,
our brain goes three ways.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay, so I'll take it one at a time. I started talking about how we are a spiritualist community, but I didn't totally define spiritualism for people.
Let's do that.
I think that's a good thing because I'm seeing
absolutely.
It. I feel like 15, 20 years ago, people didn't know what a spiritualist was. And now they've heard the word, but they have the totally misconstrued idea of what it is. So how do you define spiritualism?
So as spiritualists, we believe in God. We believe that God is all there is. And we understand that gifts of the spirit include us being able to connect with loved ones in spirit who have passed. And that we also understand about spiritual healing and that ability to be a conduit, a channel for spirit messages and for spiritual healing from the divine source. As spiritualists, we many times will refer to the God source of all as infinite intelligence,
mm-hmm.
Divine,
Word spirit.
Spirit. With a capital S.
With a capital S, exactly.
Let's make that distinction.
Yes.
And so it really is a beautiful thing that spiritualism as a religion embraces those philosophies. And we do our best to live in accordance with spiritual natural law as well. That's a very important understanding that we have. You know, many people have heard of the law of attraction. It's probably the most popular one.
Yeah.
And you've got the law of personal responsibility, law of gravity. We can go on and on and on. But these are in effect in everyone's lives, and it's something that we as spiritualists do really try to live our lives from,
mm-hmm.
that understanding that law of cause and effect and that we have the ability to connect with the divine source ourselves. It's not reliant on an intermediary force. And many times with clients, I tell them, you know, you're doing fine connecting with your loved ones in spirit. You really don't need me. And I say, I'm talking myself out of a job, but
yes.
I really do feel that it's about helping people to come to that understanding they can connect with their loved ones in spirit. And they'll say, yes, I know that, but I just like hearing from them through you.
Yeah.
So there's, I mean, they say it so much clearer.
Yeah.
So, and that's, you know, I get it. Everybody has their specialty of what they're good at.
Yeah.
I do not want to change the oil in my car. No desire. I don't want to be a brain surgeon. I'm going to let somebody else do that for me because, you know, they're going to do it better.
Yeah,
so.
I'm with you.
Yeah. But with mediumship, it really is about being, the word medium comes from the word, a Latin understanding of being in the middle.
In the middle,
being an intervening substance through which communication happens. And that's what we do as mediums. So there's a big focus in spiritualism on mediumship, on connection with the divine, and and finding that connection yourself, too.
Exactly. Yes. And that's, you know, so when we do this work, we do consider it to be sacred.
Yes.
But our spiritual practice does not start and end when we open the doors at the beginning of the day for clients and close the doors. You know, life is our spiritual practice.
Absolutely. And our whole life, you know, we do embody prayer. It's an opportunity to bring mindfulness to our actions and the remembrance of mindfulness, but when we interact with others. And it's, again, be part of that living in accordance with spiritual natural law.
Yes.
And in preparation for the show, when I was thinking about the sacredness of mediumship, I started to write down of three things: that mediumship is a sacred call.
Yes.
It's a sacred joy, and it's a sacred connection.
Yes.
And so I thought it would be cool to lean into those kinds of things today, if we could take them one by one.
I think that's fantastic, because it is a calling. You know, I think it's something innate within all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something that can be developed and deepened, and we call it a practice for a reason. It's more of an art than a science sometimes, depending, although both are in there, certainly.
I tell students that it really is about right practice and right intention.
Yep.
And it's never going to be about making instant mashed potatoes, just add water. This is a process that you have to kind of embrace. If you want the really tasty mashed potatoes, it takes years of development practice.
Yes.
You know, Celeste and I are in a different boat from most people. We were supported by family members in our understandings of spiritual connection and how to do that within ourselves, and that was encouraged and fostered, not forced, but fostered. And I do feel that that's what happens when people get part of a spiritualism or spiritualist group. If done right, that you have that sacred circle that you're a part of, and you can give and receive messages. You can start to, really understand more about how you receive from spirit.
Exactly.
That is part of it. So not everyone's going to have the sacred call.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yes.
It's when you do feel that sacred call, it's because you really want to be of service to other people. That I remember sitting in circle and going, wow, look at how I'm helping this person connect with their parent, their child, their sibling, their spouse, and so on. And I can see how this is really helping to uplift their lives.
Exactly.
And I was like, wow, it comes pretty easily to me. And I was going through college and getting a degree and everything like that, and I just really felt the call.
Yes.
And I know you did too. It's, it's one of those things that when you feel that you know that the divine source is wanting to work through you in that way, and it's a big part of your life purpose.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that for some people, just to take it from the opposite way. For some people, like for myself, I came to develop mediumship at first. One, because I wanted to learn, I really just wanted to learn to meditate so that I could control the levels.
Yeah.
because I didn't, as a natural medium, I talk about this because I find that there are people who get very overwhelmed by mediumship happening. You know, it is a small miracle. Mediumship is a small miracle. And when it just happens out of the blue sometimes for people, they get overwhelmed by it. You know, they don't know what to do with that because they don't have a process or and even having grown up around spiritualism, for me, it was like the floodgates would be open and I'd be like, what do I do with this? You know? And so I went to, I was told if you learn to meditate, you'll learn to where to put your focus, so you'll have more control over your mediumship. And then I started to practice and develop my mediumship so I would have more control,
okay,
so that I was using it in a purposeful way.
Right.
And
you also know, setting healthy boundaries.
Exactly.
Having healthy energetic boundaries.
That's a big deal.
It's a big part of this. And, you know, there is a big distinction between someone just having a couple of spirit contact experiences, or maybe they feel their mom around them every day, or their husband, or whoever it is, on a regular basis, and really wanting to amp up and be a professional medium. It's a completely different animal.
Yes.
But when it comes to that sacredness, it does help if you have some tools in your toolbox that help you to be very even-minded.
Yes.
So it's easy for sensitives to feel overwhelmed. And sensitives do have a tendency, and I've talked about this before, to amplify or magnify the energy that surrounds them.
Exactly.
And so it does behoove you if you are sensitive in that particular way, which, hey, I'm in the club too, I get it, that you learn how to modulate your energy, learn how to buffer energy with other people, and know that you are very much in charge of the energy that you give out.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what anybody brings to you. You're in charge of what you do. And also how you connect with spirit.
Yeah.
And setting those healthy boundaries of, I don't want you bothering me when I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
I want a good night's sleep. Or hey, not right now. I'm in the midst of this particular thing. Come back at such and such a time. And we'll talk then.
Yeah.
So having that sacred call is a different energy than someone just having it on a more playful or regular schedule.
Yeah. Sure. And I think sometimes though people sort of I like to jokingly, half jokingly say that I bumbled into the calling. Because
I don't think that's quite true.
Well, because all I ever wanted to do was help people. That was the calling, and you can serve spirit, you can serve humanity in a million different ways. You can do that as a grocery bagger, you can do that as a social worker, you can do that as a medium, as a dog walker, you know, whatever. But I'm very interested in spiritual healing, and when I saw, because at that time, I could do mediumship. I was deepening my prayer work and my relationship with Creator. And then when I started actually losing people in my own life, and I realized how much mediumship meant to other people and how healing it was for me, that's when I said, okay, I thought my calling was to just do spiritual healing, which, by the way, folks, is not smacking people on the forehead like see on TV in the 90s. But completely different.
Yeah.
That's when I felt like, okay, this is really what I've,
Because when you see how much the client or the recipient, if you're in a congregation giving public messages, how they are affected deeply and completely by what is happening, and that they're excited and that they have this enthusiasm for connection, and that it heals some of the broken parts that day. And you know, a big part of being a medium is a professional medium.
Let's make that distinction.
An important thing to remember that a professional medium is specializing in spirit contact.
Yeah.
And for the medium, they're specializing in helping to bring through that personality of a person who has experienced so-called death. And that is in order to help the bereaved come to terms with their loss, to ease their grief through those times. And you know, I like to have an enjoyable conversation. I'll add that in there too, which is part of the sacred joy that I talked to you about before. When the client recipient is in that state and spirit's in that state and I'm in that state, as the medium, there's a raised vibration.
Exactly.
And you can feel the effervescence of those moments.
Yeah.
And so there can be a lot of laughter, some tears. It can be very cathartic.
Yeah.
And I consider mediumship to be a sacred joy.
Exactly.
And it's any those moments where you start to not have those sacred joy, then you can feel that things start to tank. So that's if you're developing as a medium and you want to know what's a big part of the recipe, it's in engaging it and the practice of mediumship, the intention of mediumship with sacred joy.
Yeah, exactly right. I could not have put it better in any way. That was perfectly said. Yeah. And I think the way that we build that is through our connections.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I know I have a gratitude practice. I know I take very specific times to sit and meditate and both to connect with my own loved ones and to connect to my guides and higher self. And I find, you know, I do that constantly through the day also, but I make sure that there are certain times I put aside because I don't want to get out of the energy of it.
Well, you know, the way I talk to my students about this is that you're building up your muscles.
Yes, exactly.
So there's a calibration of energy for people who want to do this purposefully.
Yeah.
There's a calibrating of energy that happens each week as you're developing the things, and that you set that mind, body, spirit intention, and this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
It'd be the same as if you were to miss your walk. You were so used to taking a walk, but if you miss your walk, you're kind of feeling, just feel off because you didn't get your walk. You didn't get to go outside, or maybe you didn't do your exercises. But it takes time to work your way from 1 pound weight. 3 to 5.
Yes, exactly.
And so you have to allow yourself to build up. And so there can be a little bit of pain as you go through exercise, as everybody knows.
Yes.
So there's a personal development, a spiritual unfoldment that is happening within the medium as they're developing their mediumship as well. And that's part of making that sacred connection. So if you want to be a good pure channel, it's about unfolding within yourself your connection with your soul, with the divine. And as that expands, it includes the other people that are around you.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
When you are in an open, centered place, it is easy to feel other people. Respond with them, interact with them, and also respond and interact with spirit loved ones.
Exactly.
When you are in a closed, angry, fearful, heavy grieving state, it's difficult to feel spirit.
Yeah, exactly right. What's the old analogy? They lower their vibration and we raise ours and meet in the middle.
Mm-hmm. And I liken it to finding the right radio station.
Exactly.
It's like,
mm-hmm.
Hello, 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 how are you? And then we can have a conversation.
Exactly.
Sometimes you need to get through a little of the static.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, somebody touches the dial and all of a sudden you're on another station. You're talking to another person in spirit.
Exactly, right.
And, you know, all over the place sometimes within the course of a reading.
Yes.
In terms of vibrational connection.
And diversity of personality.
Yeah. You know, as feelers, because you and I are both very strongly clairsentient, cognizant, those kinds of things, we feel the vibrational shift.
Exactly.
So connecting with a loved one in spirit is very different from connecting with an angel or a spirit guide or an animal even.
Yeah,
they're very distinct energies. But, you know, some spirits are thick, like walking through mud, like they're just slow as molasses.
Yes.
And then others are just so light and airy. It just depends on their personality and also what level of spiritual consciousness they have.
Yes.
That they bring to the table.
And we do get people that come through that did not believe in this sort of thing when they were the living. My favorite phrase, you know, they wouldn't have been caught dead in a room like this when they were alive.
And yet here they are.
And yet here they are.
Exactly. So, I follow it. They have their comeuppance. But some people have to work through shyness. They have... If their personality, if they were naturally shy or reticent about things or hesitant, then that many times will come through in the course of a reading.
Yes.
Versus a person who's like, 1, 2, 3, punch, pow, I'm in. Give me some understanding. You know, and you have a whole
personality persists. And so, yeah.
And
people who are extroverts.
The connections.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Very much so. So, you know, even if you have... people who are very introverted, you get people that sometimes will, kind of act as the spokesperson.
Yeah, I call that the primary spirit communicator.
Yes.
And, you know, most people sometimes will have funnel through them, comes for another person in spirit, they can more effectively communicate.
Yeah.
And you see that here on the earth plane.
Exactly.
You know, some people are just better than others.
Yeah.
And, the easiest people, some of my favorite people to connect with are people who are mediums here on the earth plane, and like they have so much to do because they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, some of the folks in spirit, they need a paint by number.
Yes. So we're of that age where we've now both lost people that we've studied under at different points or been
absolutely
colleagues with.
Yeah.
And
too true.
Yeah. and some of the same ones,
mm-hmm.
You know, given our proximities and but it's kind of, have you ever had them come in and like stand with your spirit client and help them? Because I've had that a couple times and it was, it's good to know we'll never be unemployed, even in spirit, I guess.
Well, you know, I think it's a decision on their part that they want to help people. And
exactly.
That's sometimes part of the message that comes through from spirit, that the loved one shows that they are around that individual. And they'll say, you know, I noticed you did this, or I'm bringing this topic up because you were just talking about it yesterday. And that's just to show that I was with you during those moments. And
right.
And they do show up, whatever they enjoyed doing when they were here, that usually continues into spirit. So,
yes,
the mediums that have passed that they want to continue to support spiritualism, support us because they enjoy and love us personally.
Yeah.
They're going to show up and check in and just say, hey, here's a little extra energy, a little extra juice in this particular session.
Yeah.
But when they come through, if they're in the helper mode,
right?
I don't bring that up to the client because
no.
I only bring
their
particular loved ones, and that's
right.
The purpose to connect with their people, their family, their friends that have passed over in spirit. And so we really don't get, I don't get randoms. I have no desire to get random people that you might remember from grade school 40 years ago.
Yeah. Well, we kind of set the intention for, exactly.
We set the intention that the sacred connection will be with people that you strongly have a connection with, maybe a deeply loving connection, or maybe it's a connection that needs to be healed. Then those people are the ones that come through because part of that sacred calling of service is to be part of this, a bit of a spiritual counseling mode that's happening in the course of a long session.
Yeah. And sometimes you get somebody that's a little more on the peripheral, you know.
Right.
But it's always... Like you said, it's for a very specific reason.
Reason.
It's not just, you know.
It's not just y'all come. This is an open house night or anything like that. Usually what works best for clients is to say, hey, you guys, I've got an appointment. Show up.
Yeah.
And that, although it's fun, it is so much fun when certain folks in spirit show up that they didn't expect. And they'll say, oh, I totally did it. And see, then they know even more so that, you know, we weren't trying to read their mind or anything.
Right.
They get the evidence that that person is there with them during that session or during that public demonstration with the congregation. And it's just, it's beautiful what is possible.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, I've been trying to check some of the comments and things just in case, you know, just in case. So if you see me over here.
She's being all techy here. I still live in a clapboard house.
I put the laptop really far away, and you know, I'm not wearing my glasses, so I have to cheat and check out my phone.
There you go.
It's
like getting my phone calls, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, not yet, but yes.
I will mention real quickly that sittings with mediums are experimental sessions.
Yeah.
So even though there's a sacred calling, a sacred joy, a sacred connection, we cannot guarantee that we're going to meet and we'll connect with a certain loved one in spirit.
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean that they don't love you or anything like that. It just means they didn't come forward. So whatever reason, they may still be in life with you. They may be off helping somebody else. There are so many factors that are involved with all of that. So keep in mind that mediumship, the sacred mediumship, as much as you may be hurting and you want them, it's not always about that. In a session.
Yes.
And I just thought it would be important to make sure that that got covered.
I agree.
I recently did 10 tips for your mediumship reading and you know, covered some of that. But I feel it's important that people remember that we don't know what's going to happen.
Yes.
And that you have to be open to however that unfolds. And mediums, you know, sacredness of mediumship, when we're in that mindset, we're going to do whatever's in the highest and best good, whatever
spirit
sets.
Yes.
Which I'll lean into the highest and best in just a moment. But did you have something you wanted to share?
That brought up a thought for me, because I have continually heard, and it is different cultures, different belief systems, right?
Oh, of course.
So there are, like, part of my family has Slovak roots, and there's traditions with different, in that region of the world, that the spirit hangs around for a few days after their passing to help the people that are grieving when they pass over.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are people that, you know, if you're of the Hindu faith view or the Buddhist faith, you may think there's something extremely wrong if your loved one has not reincarnated immediately. There's this whole huge variety of backgrounds that we see, and that, you know, we have our understanding of things from, you know, the cultures here that we were raised in. But, you know, it's not unusual for spirit people to go home immediately and come back immediately and start talking, but it's also not unusual for them to take a long time.
Oh, absolutely.
And it is a totally individualized thing.
Yeah, some spirits are ready to talk right away.
Yeah.
Others, they have to go through life with you, and they have to do their thing. And so I do tend to recommend, encourage people to wait at least 6 months before having a baby.
And that's exactly what I was going to say. And it's not because they can't come through immediately. It's that we're getting used to the idea of them being gone.
Yeah.
And sometimes it makes it, sometimes people won't come through right away because they're afraid it's going to make it worse.
Oh, yeah.
That the person who is grieving in the living, it's going to be too hard on
them. Because
if
they don't say exactly what they want heard, there's so many components of expectation, and there's a difference between being needy and being ready, and that's just the truth of it. And usually if you've had a bit more time, then you can be in a space to really take it on board what's happening. Because if you're in grief and you're just kind of deer caught in the headlights, and you know other people, if your loved one might come through, and you're like, but I can't think about them. I'm only thinking about this one person, and that's just not how conversations work.
Yeah.
When you sit down at the dinner table with family, is there conversations go in their own organic way?
Exactly. Well, look at this. I mean, we're organic.
But this is just happening, like free flow in the moment, and that's how a reading is.
Exactly.
Nothing is pre-planned. I don't know you from Adam.
Sometimes I feel like, I mean, not on our end, but I know that sometimes the spirit world has very specific, you know, like they've choreographed it.
They have it to the extent that there is a lot that's happening behind the scenes.
Exactly, yeah.
To make this happen to the medium and the recipient or client to connect. I've had people literally say, I had a dream and my loved one in spirit came to me and told me to connect with a medium named Willa.
Yes.
Like that specific.
They picked you.
They picked me.
Yes.
And so, to that extent, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do their best when possible. But you cannot expect that to be the case all the time.
Exactly.
It's just not how that works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And again, personality, right?
Really,
so much is dependent on personality.
And also the interactions between people, because
the
ones in spirit, they're sometimes having to get through their relationships when they go through their own life review, and they're having to get over what so-and-so did to them and how they were hurt this way.
Yeah.
Maybe how they hurt someone else. And so that all has to get looked at. Spiritual progression is eternal and infinite. That's one of the understandings of spiritualists, that there's always something more, always something more to learn and grow and be.
Yes.
And so keep that in mind in terms of your connections as well.
Exactly. And why I find it so interesting because it's good to remember that the personality is reachable no matter what. So even if your belief is that someone has gone on and reincarnated, or your belief is that, you know, you go, there's the old Christian belief that we lay in the grave and we're just chilling until the second coming, you know, that's the whole rest in peace thing. That's the rest part.
That's a lot of rest.
you know, and I mean, some days I feel like I need it, but, you know,
it's looking good.
Yeah, bad joke, sorry. I really try to keep a straight face on that one, but...
No, I'm just joking.
But, yeah, I mean, I like to do what I refer to as the postcard version. Somebody is not coming through in spirit for whatever reason, I can check around.
Yeah, you can ask someone else and say, hey, can you give me any information? How are they doing?
Yeah.
And sometimes you can check in that way. Absolutely.
Because really nobody goes home alone.
That's
Everybody's
true.
There's always a committee.
But it doesn't mean anything can be on demand.
Yeah.
That's the big thing when it comes to sacred mediumship.
Yeah.
But this is a gentle request. This is not on demand. This is not, I'm going to throw a tantrum if you don't come forward, or whatever. You can't be in that kind of mindset.
Exactly.
You have to be in that sacred mindset of joy. And so the big way I do to prepare myself and to prepare a client is through prayer.
Yes.
So sacred mediumship involves prayer. For me, it's a big component of an opening prayer and a closing prayer. And between those two bookends, that's where spirit's allowed to come through.
Yeah.
And with that opening prayer, we're setting that intention for the highest and best good to connect with loved ones in spirit for this particular client or recipient.
Yeah.
And we're setting that right practice and right intention. And the client is feeling that too. When they let themselves really in that moment, they're like, oh my goodness, I just...
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And when they're in that vibrational frequency of sacred joy, sacred connection with their own soul and with the divine, amazing, magical things can happen during the course of the session.
Yeah.
And that is this really big sacred component. Because we set that intention, we're following through on it through the course of the reading or through the course of the message, right?
Yeah.
For the purpose of reading, then at the closing prayer, we're giving thanks. We're giving gratitude. We're still in that spiritual natural law mode.
Exactly.
Of giving gratitude
mm-hmm.
for what we've received and the connection, that sacred joy, that sacred mm-hmm. connection, and knowing that things will happen in divine right timing, divine order, with the client and with their connections with their loved ones and spirit. So all of that, those are really important components of sacred leadership.
Exactly. And I think what you hit on in there too is a prime misunderstanding about spiritualism, which I did not, spiritualism is not slang for anybody who does anything woo-woo.
Do not just lump us all into New Age or occult or anything like
yeah.
that, because it's not really that
it,
way.
It, yeah, there's in the Venn diagram, there is overlap in the center with mediumship and healing and meditation and prayer, but it is not that every tarot card reader should be referred to as a spiritualist, because there's no mediumship in that, and that has nothing to do with the philosophy of spiritualism per se.
So
we're not future casting.
We don't try to do fortune telling,
exactly.
future telling.
Yeah.
All spirit can give is an opinion.
Yes.
They can give an opinion or
right.
what they would like to see.
Exactly.
And, we don't do palm reading. We don't
exactly.
do tarot cards. We,
yeah.
we don't do crystal balls.
Yeah.
Not for us. In that pure form of mediumship, of connection and communication that's happening with spirit. So
yeah.
many of us see, hear, or feel spirit
yep.
and have telepathic bonding that occurs during that session time.
With the spirit people, yeah.
Right. And we
yeah.
don't usually use tools.
Right. Exactly. At least not in our camp. That's not,
yeah.
you know, because we practice what is referred to as mental mediumship.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are no tools in that game except our
no
brains.
No tools, no tricks.
Our brains
no
and our bodies. So
in the mind-body-spirit connection.
Exactly.
In the presence of that client
yeah.
and or having their voice vibration over the phone mm-hmm. or through Zoom and,
yeah.
and knowing that we're specifically requesting with sacred joy, with that sacred calling,
yeah.
we're moving into the state of let us be a sacred gift.
Yeah.
So that's the fourth one I wanted to give you. It's a sacred gift.
Well, and that was my point too, because people think, I have, only in the last couple of years have I heard this, because there is some misunderstanding in the idea that spiritualists call on their spirits, like we're pulling them in. I can't make anybody do anything.
Nope.
I can't even always make my dog sit.
No, we're not like genies commanding the world.
We're not, we can't do that. So like I said, I can give you the postcard version, finding out, who's been with so-and-so on the spirit side, what are they doing, are they okay, I can connect to one of, yeah, I can ask one of your loved ones, I can ask one of my guides, something like that, but we're not making anybody do anything, because that's
jumping through hoops.
Yeah. So, there is a difference between trained mediumship, because we are sitting at a specific time and opening ourselves to the opportunity for connection, versus natural mediumship, where it's happening on spirit's time when they feel like it.
There is a spontaneity that's
yeah.
more associated with natural mediumship, but I will
yeah.
encourage people, even if you have those kind of random connections with your loved ones in spirit, if you're wanting to develop mediumship for yourself personally, you can sit
exactly.
in a meditative mode. I won't
yeah.
say you have to meditate, but you'd be in a meditative mode, contemplative, prayerful space.
Yeah.
Say an opening prayer and
see intention.
What happens, and just allow it to unfold, not, I'm tapping my foot, where are you? I set this appointment with you. Again, wrong attitude. We want the right attitude for them. And then, you know, say a closing prayer, because you want to close the door for that, so you can go about some of your other business of the day.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's very possible that loved ones in spirit will come through when you're in the midst and busy with something, and you'll just get a little, I'm here. Oh, hi. It's kind of like a text message version of connection that happens as you in spirit. So natural mediumship is so beautiful.
Oh,
we
God,
have
yeah.
natural mediumship.
Yeah.
But if you're expecting to sit in a mediumship circle and it's just going to be about you, that's not what it's about. Again, it's that call to service.
Right.
So there's the sacred call. If you are part of a mediumship development circle or class, you're probably going to be paired off with people to do give and receive messages. So just keep that in mind, that it's the development of service to others that is happening with mediumship, done in a spiritualist way.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and it's not for entertainment. It's not like we're...
It is entertaining, but it's not for entertainment.
Right. Humor is definitely part of what we do. It's not all just a bunch of people crying. Of, you know, when people cry... I'm sorry, I'm crying. I'm like, no, you just do what you need to do. It's
healing.
Okay. You know, people need that catharsis energy that's happening. But then in another moment, spirit may say something that makes us laugh.
Exactly.
And like, it just shows you the spectrum can happen. And we can miss them, but we don't have to dishonor their memory by being unhappy people. We can remember that we are souls capable of great joy and great ability to share love with other people beyond our loved ones. It doesn't diminish what we have with them. What it should do is amplify the love that you have for the other people in your life. And you're like, but I don't have any other people. All my favorite people in the past. You're going to expand your circle. There's always more love. There's always something. And then beyond that, and one of my favorite things, I should say this, with the medium is when you can tell that they have forgotten that they're, the client or recipient has forgotten that they're a soul. Like all of a sudden, it's like they've just been so in their mundane life. And then what's happening is through the sacredness of mediumship, we're connecting with someone's loved one in spirit, with their loved one, and then they're like, oh my gosh, you really are talking to my so-and-so. You really are. And then you can see that it's click, click, clicking. And then they're like, oh my goodness, I'm a soul. I want to live my life from that perspective.
Yeah.
And people have literally told me it's changed their life to have a meeting.
Exactly.
If they were in that kind of situation, they've changed their life because then they really see that there is more to this life than what the mundane is. And so this understanding of the afterlife, it really does help us to know what we know and believe what we believe, because it helps us to function.
Well, and it also takes some of the pressure off knowing that we're measuring against eternity versus, you know, 80, 90 years.
So this is true.
We had a question.
Okay.
I've been trying to check in every now and again, so sorry. If you know someone but weren't a family member or a friend, just like an acquaintance or close acquaintance, can that person still come through in spirit to give you a connection or a message?
Sometimes yes. I would say yes. However, I will tell you this. I am not a medium that believes that spirit should assign homework.
Right.
So just because someone has come through to say hi and they were your husband's best friend, but you didn't really have much to do with them or something, it's not necessarily your job
to pass along
a message.
That's exactly
or you know, if somebody's far afield or a co-worker's mother comes forward, it's not necessarily your job to be the medium in that instance.
So funny story about that, because when I go for readings, and I make a joke, it's like hair club for men. I'm not just the medium, I'm also a client. so, you know, I, so we do, you know, mediums go have mediums too, you know. I have to tell people, especially my relatives, like, if you're coming to visit with me, I'm so excited and I'm so grateful. But it is my day off and I am not, I'm not passing messages along.
That's right.
So they have,
that's an uncomfortable thing. So please don't think that you have to then tell so-and-so that somebody who, especially if it's going to put you into a situation where you know that it's not, they're not comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Or it intrudes upon someone's grief.
Exactly.
So I would say in the sacred context of mediumship, you should never feel that you have to ante up in that particular way or you'll be yelled at by someone in spirit.
I find so much more often that if somebody who is an acquaintance, or like you gave the example of like the husband of a best friend, if they're coming through, it's because they're saying you have more people supporting you from the spirit world than what you think.
And they might just say, thank you so much for saying that, the words you did say to this person.
Right.
And done.
One of the things that I have learned more recently in the last 5 years, because it was just the way of looking at it specifically, was there is no separation in spirit. So the people that we care about our people and vice versa.
They kind of get to know people on the outside. If
there's networking over there too.
There's networking that occurs in spirit. And I literally had my loved one in spirit say, I just want you to know I sent that person to you. I talked to their grandmother who now had them come to see you. And so there's
word of mouth.
There is some networking
absolutely
that goes on with that. But I would never say to the client, oh, by the way, my so-and-so is here. And because that's not really where it's at.
No.
They don't care about my folks. They want to hear from theirs.
Well, exactly, yes. Yeah, and I think it's just, I think there is a referral network.
Yeah.
Because like, oh, well, so I've told my students this. My first year being registered here, I had so many suicides, miscarriages, drug overdoses. And it was because I did, a good job in understanding the first one. And I feel like they went and told other spirit people, hey, she knows how to deal with this, so it's safe. She's not going to judge you. She's not going to, And so I got a lot of those. And I had to eventually say to spirit, I need some light, fluffy, happy ones, please. And since that time, one of my favorite things is when spirit will say, hey, I've met these future children that are coming into the family.
Yeah. The ones that are going to be coming down the chute.
Yes, exactly. In my mind, that looks like those beams of light that come through the clouds, right?
So like from God's eye.
Yes, exactly. I've gotten to meet a few of them, over the years, which is really, really, really fun. You don't have to make yourself the medium, per
that's
se.
True. And
if you're comfortable, that's great, but don't feel like...
Don't feel pressured into passing along things, especially if you know they're not ready or they're not of that mindset. Don't put yourself...
Oh my gosh.
I do have something real quick to just share because mediumship is a sacred connection, a joy, a calling, a gift, this is not something that we do when we get invited out to dinner or walking through a grocery store or again, connection to the prayers that are going on, the opening and closing prayer, and having that level of intention rather than just having a drive-by
situation
that goes on. So I just wanted to clarify, that's an important part of the sacredness of mediumship, bringing that kind of energy, a bit of the gravitas,
yes,
and the sacred joy connection.
Yeah, I See, this is why I have her on, because she's awesome. So for those of you listening on Blog Talk, thank you so much for tuning in. I think we're going to take another question or two here, but I don't want to hear the closing music on that one, so I'll just turn that one off. Okay.